Luke 18 and verse 1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? I believe the question there was, when Jesus comes, will He find this kind of faith? Will He find people acting like this widow with that kind of faith that overcame such obstacles to get such victory? Will He find faith on the earth? Well, we've been preaching a little bit on the subject line of finding security in an insecure world. And I believe it's timely to be addressing the subject when seemingly so much insecurity is floating around. Financial insecurity, people losing jobs, and we have some even in our church here that's lost jobs. Brother Brian, Friday was his last day. A lot of insecurities going on. A lot of finances questionable. A lot of uncertainties. And a lot of people are putting their faith and dependence in that. What they have and their job and their bank account and their positions and so forth like that. And then when those things are shaky or those things crumble, then their life crumbles with it. Amen? And so we've been trying to deal with that. We started in the book of Habakkuk. I won't go back there, but we found that Habakkuk, identifying the economic crash of his day, responded by saying, But I will praise, or I will rejoice in the Lord. In other words, even though the situation is bleak and dark and gloomy, and the economic situation is a disaster, he said, But I'm still going to respond to the loss of securities. I'm going to respond by praise. I will rejoice in the Lord. And I just want to insert something right here I meant to say a little later on. And that is, brother, hard times was never meant to stop spirituality. Difficulties never has it been the will of God to deaden your soul. Amen. Well, preacher, I used to shout and praise God and have a great time until I went through this and lost this and then here I am. I don't never testify. I don't never smile. Hey, difficulties never were meant to deaden your soul. There's too many examples in the Bible. There's too many examples in our Christian heritage, in our Christian history, where people went through the loss of everything and still continued to praise the Lord. So Habakkuk said, the way we should respond and react to the loss of securities is to rejoice in the Lord, or to praise the Lord, finding the Lord to be our security. Our security is not in what we own. That could be gone in a house fire. Next Sunday, Lord willing, next Sunday night, we're going to have it's in the bulletin. We're having an elderly preacher in the service. I felt impressed to have him to come. Brother Albert Harden. And he's up in years, been faithful to God for years. And you know what? He lost everything he had, including his wife, in a house fire. He's having to live in a fellowship hall. Just on meager supply. Are you listening? Your possessions better not be your security, because that could all be gone. It could all be gone before tomorrow, even before tonight. Our security better not be in our physical shape or condition. That could change overnight. That could change at the snap of a finger. You know, as sick as our world is, and as so many germs and diseases, and we don't know what's going on in our bodies as I speak. So the physical should not be my security. Amen. If something happens to me physically, am I going to quit praising the Lord? Am I going to shut up? Am I going to quieten down? Am I going to get bitter against God? If I do, then that's a testimony that those things were what I was putting my confidence in. That's what I was putting my faith in and my dependence in. That was my security. But God will never allow you to put faith in things other than Himself. If He sees that happening, then a storm will come to wean you off of that dependence. A trial will come to wean you off of that confidence and dependence in something else other than Him. See, when you have nothing as a child of God, you still have God. And if you have God, you have enough to start over. Job lost it all, but he didn't lose God. And God was his sufficiency. God was his security. And God is mine as well. And I believe God wants to build our confidence in that in this day of everything being shaky. Amen. And so we're looking now in Luke 18, how are we to respond to these insecure days is not only praise like Habakkuk chapter 3 illustrates, but also here we're to respond with the loss of securities. We're to respond by prayer. It's a good time to develop your prayer life. It's a good time to see how much confidence you have in prayer when hard times come. There's two times it's hard to pray, when things are fine and when things are falling apart. You ever notice that? I have. I've noticed that in my own life. Two times hard to pray. You won't have much of a serious prayer life when things are fine. Sunshine. Things are wonderful. Amen. No storm clouds. Wind's fine and everything's fine. You won't pray much in that hour. And then a lot of times when it goes to the pendulum swings to the other side and things are falling apart and seem like nothing is positive and seem like nothing is profitable and you're wondering how in the world we're going to make it and what's next and it's hard to pray in those times. I didn't say it was impossible. It's hard. But when things are hard, it's a good time to pray hard. Amen. Many times I've done it. We'll get down on our knees to pray. And if it's not just an immediate breakthrough, if we're just not immediately in the presence of God with goosebumps standing that big on our arm, you know, then we quit praying. Well, I'll try again later, Lord. Evidently the line's busy. It's not busy on His end. It's busy on our end. Most time when I get down and can't pray like that, it's just like a heaven's brass and seem like my prayers is not getting out of the sound of my voice. It's usually, if I just look at two or three little things, then I can pretty well discern what the problem is. One, I just have to look at my heart. Am I praying with sincerity? Am I praying with a burden? Do I have a desire in my heart to communicate with God? Most of the time I'm praying out of habit. Say amen right there. Most of the time I'm praying like the one in Matthew 6, praying with vain repetition, which is just from memory. If you're not careful, you'll learn how to pray. Are you listening? If you're not careful, you'll learn how. You'll learn what phrases. You'll learn how to say it and all of that. And that's all it is a prayer. None of us could pray any more prettier than a Pharisee. They were known for their long praying. They were known for their special and elaborate prayers, but it never got out of the building. Amen. But that sinner that went up to the temple, bowed his head and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Guess what? God heard him and he went away justified. Most time I look at my heart and I can tell why I'm not hooked up in prayer. Most time I find there's defilement there and sin or something. Out of fellowship with God. You can't pray if you're not in fellowship with God. Amen. Are you listening? God's not deaf. God's not deaf. Are you listening? But I'll tell you what, you can't pray from a distance. The prodigal couldn't talk to the father till he come home. Amen. Fellowship. And I look at my heart. None of this was, I was planning on preaching this morning, but it's all right. Lord did. Lord's given it. I look at my heart. Also, I look at my mind. If I can't pray, and it's hard to pray, and difficult to pray, and seem like I'm not hooked up, I just look at my thoughts. A lot of times I pray, my mind's not even on it. Say amen right there. Amen. My mind's troubled. My mind is agitated. My mind is perplexed with a situation, or my mind is carnal. Amen. You can't pray unless there's... Praying is spiritual. Do you know that? How long has it been since you heard that? Praying is a spiritual task. Amen. You can't pray to do any good in the flesh. You can't pray to do any good being carnal. The devil knows that. He knows the most powerful tool available to us is prayer. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is, it accomplishes much. And the devil knows that if God's people can get on praying grounds, get in a praying condition, and get to calling on God, that prayer is going to move the hand of God. God's going to come into our circumstance. God is going to come into our situation. And the devil knows that means automatic and instant defeat for him. But I can look at my mind. I can look at my heart. Then you can look at relationships. Amen. But anyway, here it says prayer. Prayer. If you're going to deal with insecurity, and this widow was facing insecurity. Remember last Sunday morning we dealt with that. We explained that. She was a widow. The one that she depended on was now dead. Her husband was dead. And that rendered her to be in a condition of deficiency. The one that she trusted to be her protector and provider and planner and leader and all of those things is now gone. On top of that, she's dealing with sorrow and grief and loneliness. What am I going to do with this? And how am I going to do with that? And what? Amen. And so she was placed in a condition of insecurity. She was put in a condition to where she was going to have to do something. And the adversary was after her. She come to the judge. She said, avenge me of mine adversary. Amen. You think, well, that's bad for somebody to be taking advantage of a widow and hounding a widow and harassing a widow. Well, the adversary was doing that. He didn't care what sorrow she was going through. He didn't care what grief she was bearing up under. He didn't care. All he cared was what was owed him, supposedly. And boy, the devil's called our adversary, isn't he? 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, that adversary is just like this one. He don't care what sorrows that lays heavy on your life. He don't care what's falling apart in your life. He don't care if there's a wreath on the door. He don't care if you're brokenhearted. He don't care if there's a prodigal in the house. He don't care. He just wants what he can get. He's an adversary. Well, how was it that we are to combat that? How, when many times we're placed in an insecure situation, how is it that we're to find some security? He's telling us through this text that we're to pray. We're to pray. I've got a lot more material here than I've got time to preach this morning that God has given to me, but I just want to share this with you. Jesus, in the text, is trying to show us the danger of becoming weak and fainting in times of insecurity. That's what he's saying. Verse number 1 establishes the context of the whole thing, everything he's teaching. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. If you're fainting, you're not praying. If you're praying, you're not fainting. And amen. And so the whole context is established in verse number 1. And Jesus is telling His disciples that if you get slack in your spiritual life in times of difficulty and hardship, He said, then you're going to get weak and faint. He said, you don't have to. There's a preventative of that, and that's prayer. But there's a danger. It is easy to get slack in insecure times. People are doing it all the time. Amen right there. People get slack, and I'm burdened even this morning of people that are not here in the service. Just troubled over different ones, different members that in the service that not been here the maybe once the whole month of February or twice. Several been here maybe twice the whole month of February. Are you listening? For whatever reason. I want to tell you, it's hard to maintain a spiritual life with that. Even if there's, no matter what the reason is, no matter what the excuse is, my friend, listen, it's hard to stay on a good spiritual level when there's not much church in your life. Amen. I've got to have it. I mean, you may say, preacher, that's a sign of weakness. Well, go ahead and write it in the back of your Bible. Go ahead and put it back there. So, preacher Radcliffe is weak and needs church. He's been saved 28 years, but he needs church. He needs preaching. He needs the Word. He needs fellowship with God's people. Just go ahead and write it back there in the back of your Bible. Preacher Radcliffe fits all of that. If he don't stay in church and under the preaching, amen, and keep, my friend, keep confronted with spiritual things, spiritual people, spiritual atmosphere, spiritual singing, he'll lose ground. Have you not noticed this world is not spiritual? This world is carnal. This world will drain you. Hey, listen, you can leave from a good service, be up on a good spiritual level, and you can walk in this world for 7 days, and I'm telling you, it'll pull on you. It'll drain you. It'll weaken you. And we have to come back, amen, and get another exposure, get another refill. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for our cars, but I tell you what, a car is not worth. Car's not worth nothing if you just keep going by the filling station. It's a running fine, preacher. I don't need to stop in. I don't need refills. I just keep going, preacher. Yeah, you better keep your eye on your gauge. In case you hadn't noticed, your spiritual register, your spiritual gauge is telling you that the whole time you're moving, you're using. The whole time you're moving, you're using, and that thing's going down and down and down. And brother, there's times you have to pull in. And it don't matter what kind of car it is and how much it costs and how pretty and how many people would like to have one. If you don't put gas in it, it's going to sit by the roadside. Hey, man, we need refills. I do. I need it. Hey, I need it more than just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Friday night Jubilee. I tell you what, I've got to have it on a daily basis. I've got to get in His presence. I've got to talk to Him. I've got to have Him to talk to me. I've got to feed on His Word. I want to tell you without a doubt, I'm still here today after 28 years of being saved, not because of my endurance, not because of my perseverance, but because of my relationship to that Word of God and the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Feel a good touch right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Better watch it, brother. In difficult times, slackness will creep in. When you're struggling, if you're not careful, you'll be straying. You listening? Devil knows that. He knows that if you're struggling. And I thought what Brother John Pearson said, he wasn't saved long. He was open to Sunday school, I believe it was, or he might have been, I believe he was open to Sunday school, or maybe been testifying, I can't remember. But he said in the service, and how many hadn't been saved long? He said, if you're not struggling, he said, I wonder if you're even saved. Amen? I mean, listen, where did he learn that from? Learned that from the Word of God, and he learned that not just being saved a short period of time. Brother, when you get saved, it's not downhill, it's uphill. Amen. When you get saved, brother, everybody's not on your side. You now have got opposition. When you're saved, you get saved, you're not running with the devil, you're head on with him. Amen. He's a defense, and you're on the offense. You're carrying the ball, and he don't want you to score. He don't want your team to win. Amen. So be careful in struggling times that you do not slack spiritually. Be easy to not read your Bible when you're struggling. Be easy to stay home and do other things instead of go to church when you're struggling. Amen. The Lord spoke to me early this week to share that with you about the struggling times. This woman right here had a struggling situation on her hands. Her husband was dead. Her provider, protector, her security was gone. And now she's in the valley of decision. She's going to have to make choices. She's going to have to be responsible for of her own direction in life as a widow. If you're not careful in struggling times, you'll get slack. Careful, if be careful in struggling times, you'll start straying. You'll start drifting and straying. In struggling times, if you're not careful, you'll start slipping. You'll start sagging. You'll start slipping in struggling times. Now, I don't have to ask you, are you struggling? Everybody do this right here. Are you breathing? Then you're struggling. That's the truth, isn't it? I'm telling you, brother, in this life, listen, you know what Job said? Man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's what Job said. Job said, if you're born and breathing, you're alive, and you're in this world, your life is going to be full of trouble. I didn't say that. God's Word said that. And another verse in Job, I believe it's chapter 14, he talks about, let me make sure on that. You don't have to turn, I believe it's just turn right there and read it. Make sure I'm right on that. He compares the adversity and troubles, he compares that to a fire and sparks. You ever notice that? I believe it's chapter 14. Let me see right here. Yeah, verse 1. Man that is born... Nope, that's the verse I quoted. Man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Chapter 5, verse 7. Yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You ever been around a fire? Seen the sparks? If you got fire, you got sparks. A lot of people want fire. They don't want sparks. Amen. Guess what? Job said, man, listen, I'm going to read it again. He said, yet man is born unto trouble. You know, we got it backwards. When a baby's born, we rejoice. And then when a person dies, we cry. God in the Word has it backwards. God says we're to cry when they're born and rejoice when they die. You know why? Because when a baby's born, the sorrow aspect of that is they're born into a world full of anguish and trouble and adversity. Amen? Are you listening? I've even heard parents, young parents, make this statement. Amen. Said, well, we're not going to have no babies. We don't want to bring no baby into this world. Had to fool with all the finances and all the headaches and problems and paying high taxes in a few years to pay out this stinking stimulus bailout mess. Amen. I didn't hear too many amens right there. Well, maybe you like $30 million going to take care of an extinct marsh mouse in San Francisco. Maybe you like $30 million of that going out there to take care of a stinking rat. Amen. I want to get off of that. I don't want to get fired up over that. But anyway. Hey, man. I felt good to say that, though. But we just need to beware in struggling times that we don't stray. I tell you what God says in this text, what we're supposed to do. In struggling times, instead of stray, God says in struggling times, here's what you need to do. Pray. Amen? Praying will keep you from straying. He said in verse number 1 that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. You know what the word faint here means? The word faint means to lose heart. How many people's losing heart? Well, the devil's targeting your heart. Are you listening? He targets your heart because he knows that's the center of your affection. And if he can get you to love something, you'll live for it. If he can get you to love something, you'll long for it. If he can get you to listen, if he can get you to love something, he knows that you'll go after it. Amen. How you love is what you love determines how you live. What would happen if God's people just start loving Jesus? Amen. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Amen. A lot of people in church today have lost heart. Devil, listen, before the devil gets you out of church, he'll get church out of you. Before he'll ever get you out of the Bible, he'll get the Bible out of you. He targets that heart. How many might even be in the service this morning? You're losing heart. Why would anybody lose heart? You don't lose heart in, well, you can. I started to say you don't lose heart in the sunshine and the wonderful times and the easy times and the mountaintop, but you can even lose heart then. You can get so carried away with the easiness that you lose your spirituality. But anyway, he says don't lose your heart. Also, the word faint means don't lose your strength. Don't lose your strength. A person fainting is weak. I wrote this down. I thought this was good. In a fainting condition, no one is standing. Have you ever seen somebody faint? How many here has fainted yourself? You keep standing up? You say, excuse me, I believe I'm going to faint, so I'm just going to stand over here so I won't bother nobody. No, when it comes time for you to faint, when you're going to faint, amen. And sometimes it comes on quickly and sometimes you just slips up on you and things, amen, just kind of goes dark and you don't stand. You just kind of go into a horizontal position. The devil knows if he can get you in a fainting condition, you won't stand. You won't stand for the Word. You won't stand for your church. You won't, amen. You won't stand against sin. In fact, when you're fainting, you're vulnerable. Somebody can take advantage of you when you're fainting. Amen. Brother McCarricker, with all his money, falls out on the floor and he's fainted. I go walk right up there, get the money out of his pocket and go to Walmart. He won't fuss. He won't complain. He won't whine. Miss June might tackle me. But when you're fainting, you're vulnerable. Devil knows if he can get you in a weak, fainting condition, loss of heart, loss of strength, he knows that you're vulnerable. He can take advantage of you. He can take things from your life without asking. He can get you in a state of unconsciousness. You say, preacher, are people like that in church? I promise you people in church today are unconscious as to their spiritual level that they're on. They're declining spiritually. The Bible said about Samson that he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He didn't even realize he was in the shape he was in until afterwards. Anyway, listen to this. A person that's fainting is not standing. Secondly, a person that's fainting is not seeing. What happens when you faint? Blackout. I mean, you don't see nothing. You can't see nothing to be thankful for. You can't see nothing that's positive. Amen? You can't see. Why should I get up when I'm tired and go to the house of God? I can't see. Preacher, I can't see what you're so excited about. I can't see what the choir's singing about. I can't see that Sunday school lesson the teacher's teaching about. I can't. Hey, you might be fainting. Person fainting cannot stand. They'll not be standing. They'll not be seeing. And they'll not be speaking. You ever heard a person when they faint stand over and tell you a story? Hey, let me tell you what I did last week. Man, I'm telling you, you ought to have been there. No. You know what goes with fainting? Silence. Say amen right there. Look how many people in church don't ever say nothing. They don't witness. They don't testify. Something wrong. Woo! We're having a good time. Something wrong with that. But a person fainting is not speaking. Here's another one. A person that's fainting is not stopping. They're not stopping nothing to happen to them. That is, they're vulnerable. They can't stop nothing from happening. Listen to this. Well, this is good. A person that's fainting is not sensing anything. They don't feel nothing. I remember my wife, she passes out, not all the time, but sometimes. Especially over blood. She has to get her blood drawn, that's just a fact. Go ahead and lay her on the floor. Just go ahead and put her on the floor, strap her in, get all the smelling salts, get ready, because she's going to go in one of them stiff DT deals. She fainted at house one day. She cut her finger. I told her, I said, she was holding her finger and walking around the kitchen, you know. And I was over the kitchen washing my hands because I'd been doing something, had dirty hands, and I know better than, you know. But anyway. I noticed her get that wobble. She was holding her finger and she kind of got that wobble like this. And I knew she wasn't dancing. And she kind of got that wobble of insecurity. And I said, sit down. And I thought, you know, she could sit down. Well, she kind of leaned over like she was going for the chair, but she never made it to the chair. Next I know, she was falling, I mean, bam, flat in the floor on her face. Now, I probably could have caught her, but I'd got water in the floor. And that wouldn't have been good, Brother John, because I'd have fainted then. No. But I'm talking about a person that's fainting, can't sense anything. And I had the grand, great privilege. You know, I've seen them do it on television, so I thought I'd do it. So I just walked over there and picked her up, and I mean, you know how you do. Leisha, wake up! Wait, Leisha! I said, boy, that felt good. She's not fighting back. Wham! Wham! She didn't feel nothing. In fact, she didn't even know I'd bopped her none until I told her. And she, Miss Sue, she ain't never let me live that day. If I were to faint, it'd be bad at the house. I'd probably come in with no arms. Amen. But I know that's funny. But the truth is, spiritually, you can get in a fainting condition in struggling and hard and difficult times, which means you don't sense nothing. You can get past feelings. Colossians talks about becoming past feelings. Listen, hey, I'm not saved by feelings, but it sure feels good to be saved. Are you listening? Brother, when I go to church, listen, I'm not content to just sit in a service and go through a service. I want to feel God. Am I wrong with that? God made me emotional. God made me to where I can sense His presence and enjoy His touch in my life. I don't like to get in a condition where I am senseless and don't feel His presence. But anyway, I thought that was good, I thought. And another thing, when you're fainting, you get in a condition where you're not serving. You're not doing nothing. You're not doing nothing. You know what happens when you get in fainting condition? Inactivity hits you. You get still. It's hard to... You can faint in motion, but most of the time you get still before you faint. But anyway, hey man, let me just give you this. I'm not going to go any further about as far as dealing with the actual points of the message out of this passage on dealing with finding security in an insecure world. She found security. But it wasn't in what she had. It was in somebody else's position and power and authority. And she went to that person in prayer. But I just wrote this down. Jesus is saying, in times of insecurity, your survival will be your supplication. I want you to get these two couple statements right here, and we'll be done. Jesus is saying that in times of insecurity, when things are uncertain, things are questionable, things are shaky, God says, by this illustration in this text, that your survival, that adversary would no doubt it would have took her down and took her out had not she exercised that supplication to that judge to get his help. Isn't that right? So Jesus is telling us that your survival will be your supplication, your prayer, your praying. I wrote it another way. If you don't pray, then you'll end up paying. You'll pay. Amen? Praying will keep you from paying. Praying will bring the judge into your circumstance, and he assumes your situation. Amen? I like that. If you don't pray, you'll pay. Here's another one, and I'll be done with this. Your prayer life will be your perseverance. If you keep on keeping on, it'll be because you prayed. And the devil don't want nobody to learn how and to be serious about praying. Young people, you can pray. We need young girls and boys around here that'll pray. We need you to pray. I need you to pray for me. But you need to develop a prayer life, because it's through prayer that you get to, that you know God. If you don't ever talk to Him, you'll never know Him. Amen? The more you talk to Him, amen, you'll get to know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you know about Him, the more you're going to love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to live for Him. And the more you live for Him, the more you love Him, and you'll want to know, learn more about Him. Your prayer life is essential. I meant to look in that verse 1, and we might do that tonight if the Lord will help us, at that little word, ought. Did you notice that word in verse 1? I'll just throw this out there. I'm not going to tell you the definition. But where he said, men ought always to pray. That word ought is big. Buddy, praying is ought. Praying is essential. Praying is necessary. You're not going to make it if you don't pray. So how are we going to respond to days of insecurity? We're going to have the security of prayer. Because that takes us into the presence of a secure God, amen, that knows what's going on. Let's all stand to our feet.